Lord God, Heavenly Father, may our time together in this meditation, Lord God, may it center fully on you and what your word means for us even today. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So there's a new thing this morning, if you notice. I've never preached from a tablet. And so I'm going to try to do that this morning. Moses didn't have a problem teaching from a tablet back when he came from off the mountain. So I'm going to try here. The only problem is this is an apple, and that didn't really work for Adam and Eve, right? So I got to be really careful about this one. We were discussing on our Wednesday night, it was a line called, when your family tree looks more like a burning bush. And so Matthew is writing to Jews, trying to convince them of the authority and the supremacy of Jesus Christ when he writes in his first chapter all the begat. All right, so his family tree is all in that first chapter. We tend to skip it, but during Advent, we were taking a look at what was going on with that. And so when we take a look at what we have gone through so far, we went through, number one, recapping Rahab. Rahab, if you remember, she sold herself. She sold her body, her soul, her mind to people in Jericho. But when the spies showed up, she took a stand for the Almighty God, and she was the only one, her family, to be rescued out of that city, and interesting enough, she becomes in the line of Jesus. And then we get to Ruth. Ruth was not a Jew, and God gave specific, you're not to marry outside, of course. They marry outside when there was a famine, and interesting enough, God works through there something called a kinsman redeemer, someone who redeemed the land and the people on that land. And then we get to David, and of course, you read a lot about King David, you hear a lot about King David. The problem is, King David, when it is listed of who the line is coming from, you see that King David, his biggest mistake, forgetting God and going after worldly things, especially a woman who was his wife, somebody else's wife, and it's in there. It's in the story of who Jesus is, and we've been weaving in these stories about how God is faithful to his people, and yet every time they've taken a journey that would take them off this line, God is still faithful. And so this morning, we want to take a look a little bit more of who's in Jesus' family tree. Because when you look, especially today, when y'all get together with everybody, and it gets very interesting, doesn't it? Because you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family, right? And there sometimes gets to be that awkwardness of just that weird conversation around the table because you know each other so well and you know what they have to do to pick your buttons. And generally, that's what happens. And so when we take a look at who's in Jesus' family tree, I want to take a look at one thing here, is that when we take a look at who's in Jesus' family tree, we take a look at in the gospel reading. And if you would, get out your bulletin. And we're going to be taking a look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Okay, so right away we want to say, okay, Jesus is a holy God, someone he says, okay, you must set yourself apart. You must be different than every other peoples out there. You can't take yourself and say, this is what God wants of me, and then say, well, the culture is something that, well, culture looks better. I'm just going to pick and choose where of God's word I want to go with this. And so we see that interesting in the line of in line of Jesus. The angel goes to a young lady, name of Mary, and God says to her, you are going to be the mother of the most important person ever to be born. You are going to be the mother of the Messiah. The person that will come from you is God himself, Emmanuel. And to be able to hear that, to hear that you found favor with God. And yet she says, wait. I'm only engaged. I'm not married yet. And so first you have to say, well, why would God work through a situation like this? Why wouldn't God wait till she's married and then say, okay, now I'm going to bring about the Savior of the world? Well, if you take a look at that, then they would attribute all of that to Joseph. And not to the Holy Spirit. And then you would have to question, really question, who was his real father. And so when we take a look at this, is God is the one who works through this situation. The most important thing is what God is doing in this situation. Not how we try to manipulate the situation. God comes into a situation and says he's going to be both fully God and fully man all at the same time. And only a fully God, fully man person can die for your sins, can actually go to a cross, can actually bleed. And yet, when he has drawn his last breath, only God can say, it is finished. The payment has been made for your sins. Only God can do that. And so that's why it was essential that we get who his father is. It is essential to make sure that we know that he is fully God and fully man and not from Joseph. But very interesting, why would God do this? Why would God do this? Mary undoubtedly would become the scandal of the entire town. Why would God do that? Because when we take a look at what God does for us, God works in ways in which we don't understand. When God says he wants to save you from your sins, and he says there's only one way, there's a promise in that, that when he says something, it is true, and something that we can believe in, something we can put our total faith in, our total lives in. And we can say, Lord God, I don't understand everything that's going on in the world, but I trust you enough to follow you. I trust you enough that when you look throughout the history of chapter 1 of Matthew, you can say, Lord God, you have brought about the most perfect gift, even though the situations haven't been perfect. And so when we take a look at things, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says this, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. And so I hope this morning that we don't take that lightly, that when it says when the time had fully come, so when God looks at all throughout human history, he picks a point in time that is perfect for his son. And when the people wait and wait and wait and say, Lord, when will you come? When will you save us? The Lord God says, my promises are true and faithful. I will send my son the most perfect time. And you look at throughout all of history, the one time and throughout all of history which met all the criteria, it was when God came to earth. Say this with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's why God did it. That's why God worked throughout all those failures to bring about the Savior of the world, to say to you and me, from that cross that he gave us, that it is finished. And so we can have hope today in his promises to us, that when he says your sins are forgiven, he has provided that for us. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord God, we pray this morning, Lord, that, Lord God, so many times we seem to stumble on our own. Lord God, it is so tough to follow an instinct, a reckoning, to follow words on a page that are thousands of years old. But Lord God, help us understand that, Lord God, you guided your people with your words. Lord God, you are never late. You are never weary about keeping your promises. Lord God, help us this day as, Lord God, there seems to be so much that is going on in the world. Lord God, there are so many things that are happening just in our own families. Lord God, we trust you that, Lord God, you can bring about salvation, freedom, and Lord God, also peace. Be with us, Lord, as we seek to celebrate the birth of your Son in your Savior's name. We pray. Amen.